Would you kneel with me in prayer? Our dear Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and for this opportunity to be here this evening. We ask, Father, that thy spirit might be here. We pray that you would bless the speaker of this hour, that you might guide and direct him and give him freedom of thoughts, and that he might present to us those things that are pertinent to our salvation. Help us, Father, to be receptive to those things that he brings forward to us. We ask that you would bless all of those who are unable to be here this day. We ask that you bless each one and their particular needs. We pray for the work of the gospel. We pray for all those who are sick and afflicted and who stand in need. We pray for our brothers and sisters in Yucatan and for all of those engaged in missionary activities. We ask that you bless each one. Be with us this evening. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We have a special at this time.
Thank you. Thank you, Bill. Is there anybody here tonight that's ever been to Israel, Jerusalem? Raise your hand. Nobody that I can see. I sang that song tonight for a reason, even though it was unpracticed. There's probably maybe just a few here. Maybe Don and Jay, maybe Bill, my Uncle Jim, maybe Andy, my father, that maybe sometime in their life, maybe down in the ruins of Mexico, they set their foot. Or maybe they've walked across the courtyard where the Savior stood. Sometime back in time. Maybe there's a few here that have really stood where Christ had stood sometime. I want to read in Jeremiah, in the 6th chapter, in the 16th verse, it says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. But they said, we will not hearken." I'd like to base most everything I speak about tonight off that scripture. He says there's old paths, where's the good way? You know, often, I think sometimes people want to... maybe I could give you an example. I got a book here. It says, How to Be a Christian Without Being Religious. And if I just read the back part, it says, Are you on a religious treadmill? Do you sometimes feel trapped into playing a game called church? Do you feel as if you're going through motions in order to please a God who probably isn't too happy with you anyway? If you need freedom from religious rules and rituals, this book is for you. The Christian life is a rich relationship with God, not a religious treadmill. Being a Christian provides benefits for life right now. If you can shed the idea that Christianity means being good, that idea only leaves you feeling guilty and not very happy with yourself or your faith. There's a way off this treadmill. It's found in the book of Romans, so on and so forth. But just to give you maybe a little bit of what the book was talking about, I think there's a lot of people that way. That maybe they don't understand the old path where the good way is. Proverbs, in the 14th chapter, looking at mankind, he makes a statement in the 12th verse, and he says, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." I want you to know that there's a path. And it's a path of old time. And we can't get off that path. Sometimes I think in our humanness, we think maybe it's too hard to travel. Well, not really that many people have traveled it, and there's an easier way. There's some new way that gets you there quicker. I can remember driving from here to Payson. And oftentimes you can look up on the side of the mountain. I remember my dad saying, "See that up there? You see this old road, and you can see rocks built up where there had been a little wash there or something, and a little culvert. That's part of the old road." And then you get a little further, and that whole old road's busted off somewhere. But it used to lead to a destination. I can also remember, Mike Kelly might remember this, we took him down an old road one time. We had to climb this real steep hill, and it was really rough, and he just You didn't think we could make it for a while. None of us were sure we could. And he says, Joel, this is no road. This is a trail. Well, that's probably about how easy life is, you know. There's rough spots. I've walked today where Jesus walked. You know, sometimes I think, maybe we think that Christ was, you know, when we were born, we weren't born perfect as He. We weren't born that way. And so we want to set Him on a higher plane. But He walked the same path that we have to walk. He didn't walk a way that we won't go. He walked the same path and the same trail. And if we're going to follow Him, we got to walk that same trail. In St. John, the 21st chapter of St. John, he tells us in the 15th verse, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This he spake, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. Follow me. We got a song called Follow Me. Many of you know it. The Savior was never on a higher plane than what we've got to make. We've got to follow that trail no matter what length and what breadth and how hard and how rough. We've got to follow the same old trail. And we've got to walk where His feet have trod. In Ecclesiastes, in the 3rd chapter, these things aren't new to you. Talking about mankind, in the 1st verse, 3rd chapter of Ecclesiastes, says, To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven, a time to be born. And even though you and I weren't born perfect, we had to follow the Savior in the fact that, in His example, you know, He had to be born, and we were born. And a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill, and a time to heal. A time to break down, and a time to build up. A time to weep, and a time to laugh. A time to mourn, and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones, and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace, a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get, a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. What profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? I have seen the travail which God hath given the sons of men to be exercised in it. And travail is strenuous exertion. It's to toil, it's tribulation or agony, anguish. We're going to feel every one of these things in our lives. Turning to Mosiah in the 8th chapter. We're going to read it on page 200. and 50 in your Book of Mormons. It's not any easier for us than it was for Christ. He says in the 15th verse on page 250, "Yea, even doth not Isaiah say, Who hath believed our report, and to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid as it were our face from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yea, we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no evil, neither was any deceit in his mouth." You know, there's another scripture in the Book of Mormon that says that he bore more than a man could bear. And he had hard times in his life. And even so, you know, you and I trod the same path. With hard times, you know, either ahead or behind us, many of you lived through them. There are some yet that are to be. But like Christ, if we're going to make it to the place that we want to be, we've got to travel through them. We've got to keep our feet moving. In St. Mark, in the 10th chapter, we find in the 35th verse, it says, "And James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came unto him, saying, Master, we would that thou shouldst do for us whatsoever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? And they said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit one on thy right hand and the other on thy left hand in thy glory. But Jesus saith unto them, Ye know not what ye ask. Can ye drink of the cup that I drink of, and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said unto him, We can. And Jesus said unto them, Ye shall indeed drink of the cup that I drink of, and with the baptism that I am baptized withal shall ye be baptized. You know, you and I had a need to be baptized of the baptism that Christ was baptized. And surely we should be if we're going to follow the path that he trod. In the second book of Nephi, in the 13th chapter, you'll find it on page 161. He says in the 6th verse, "Wherefore I would that ye should remember that I have spoken unto you concerning that prophet which the Lord showed unto me that should baptize the Lamb of God, which should take away the sin of the world. And now if the Lamb of God, he being holy, should have need to be baptized by water to fulfill all righteousness, oh then, how much more need have we, being unholy, to be baptized, yea, even by water?" And now I would ask of you, my beloved brethren, wherein the Lamb of God did fulfill all righteousness, and being baptized by water, know ye not that he was holy? But notwithstanding he being holy, he showeth unto the children of men that according to the flesh he humbleth himself before the Father, and witnesseth unto the Father that he would be obedient unto him in keeping his commandments. Wherefore, after he was baptized with water, the Holy Ghost descended upon him in the form of a dove. And again it showeth unto the children of men the straitness of the path, and the narrowness of the gate by which they should enter, he having set the example before them. And he saith unto the children of men, follow thou me. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, can we follow Jesus, save we be willing to keep the commandments of the Father? And the Father said, repent ye, and be baptized in the name of my beloved Son. And also the voice of the Son came unto me, saying, he that is baptized in my name, to him will the Father give the Holy Ghost like unto me. Wherefore, follow me, and do the things which ye have seen me do. The Son of God was baptized to show the Father that according to the flesh that he'd humble himself, that he'd keep his commandments, and you and I will never attain the place of peace and rest unless we, like Christ, are baptized in the same manner with the same desires to humble ourselves before God, to keep his commandments, and to follow Christ. In 2 Timothy, I want to read one verse in the third chapter. It's in the 12th verse. You know, after Christ was baptized, he had a time. His years were filled with persecution and these kind of things. And you and I aren't going to get around that. In the 12th verse, he says, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. If you're living like you should, you better look forward to it, because it's going to happen. You're going to feel it. You're going to feel the stress of people persecuting you. And as I said, you're going right down the line. You're going to follow his path. He's not on a different one. And neither are we. We follow his path. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, you and I, just as Christ, we have a cross. In the 24th verse of the 16th chapter of Matthew, then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, how? There's a path. If anyone's going to follow him, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Every man has his cross to bear, just as Christ. And if you're going to follow him and come after him, you got to deny yourself. You know, that's one of the hardest things to do in this day and age, is to deny ourselves of the pleasures and the desires that we have as humans. It's hard to deny ourselves. But he gave us a cross to bear. He gave us weaknesses. He gave us something that is hard in our estimation. And yet we, like him, you know, we've got to be able to say, you know, not my will, but thine, Father, be done. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. And we've seen the example of the Savior, you know. We saw his example, that he denied himself for you and I. we read where it says he was wounded for our transgression. He didn't complain, but he bore it. And in like manner, you know, and whatever we go through in life, and in the path that we're trotting, we're gonna have to bear. The time's gonna come if we keep off our walk and we keep following him, we're gonna have to bear our own cross. Turning again to Galatians. In the second chapter, second chapter of Galatians in the 20th verse, he says, this is the Apostle Paul speaking, he says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Again, in Galatians in the 5th chapter, he says in the 24th verse, he says, and they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. You know, we're told we've got a cross to bear. Now we find that we're going to have to be crucified. And then we crucify our flesh with the affections and lusts. You know, you put them away. You nail them somewhere where they don't come back to haunt you. You put them away. Even as Christ gave his life, you give those things away. You bury them. Again, in the 6th chapter of Galatians, he says in the 14th verse, but God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. And it's only through Christ. You know, we can't do this on our own. That path that we travel down, it isn't empty. There isn't somebody, there's not all these big pitfalls with nobody to help us over them. The only way we shall attain is if we have help. Often I've talked with people, you know, in our course of conversation, that, well, I can't get over this. I just can't get over it. Whatever it is that's a problem or a bother or a weakness. And that's the truth. We, as humans, we can't get over it. We can't get over things without Christ, without His strength and without the knowledge and the faith in Him that we can overcome. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creature. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be on them and mercy, and upon the Israel of God. From henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus. As he's saying, he crucified his flesh in his spiritual life. There were those marks in his hands and in his feet and in his side. In Romans, in the 6th chapter, he says in the 3rd verse, he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ, into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death. And we're going to die with him. You know, we're crucified and we're going to die with him. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we should also walk in newness of life. He gives quite an analogy, you know, about our life is compared to the life of Christ. We find that all those things He went through, you and I, in the way prescribed, we're going to go through them ourselves. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more. Death hath no more dominion over Him. For in that He died unto sin once, but in that He liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. And so, even as Christ was raised, when we were baptized into His baptism, we were raised. We were raised from that dead and old man. We left our sins behind us. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, another point, another commandment. In the 5th chapter of Matthew, reading in the 48th verse, He says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father in heaven, which is in heaven, is perfect." You can find the same thing in the 3rd Nephi, the 5th chapter, in the 92nd verse. I think sometimes maybe this is where we feel like we're on an uneven ground. I'd like to read a few things before I get on to my next scripture, which is about that. I want to read a dream. This is a dream that was had in 1941. I just want to read a part of it. This was a dream that my Uncle Skeet had. He says, "I was traveling in a car with a young man who had left the church. We were traveling east on a fairly good dirt road through heavy timber. As we traveled, the road sloped gently upward. There was a ridge that sloped gently downward to the left or to the north, and it sloped upward to our right or to the south. The main road turned north or downward, but there was a dim, rough trail leading upward or to the south on the right. My friend was driving, and he turned the car to the left in the main road that went downhill. When he did this, I said, 'This is not the right way.' He said, 'Yes, it is.' I said, 'You know that we want to reach the top of the mountain, and the road that we were on, and the road that we are now on will lead us to the valley floor.' Then I asked him, 'Didn't you see the little trail that turned to the right and leads to the mountaintop? That is the way we must go.' He said, 'No, this road will take us where we want to go.' I asked him to let me out of the car and wait for me, and that I would walk up the trail and see if it did not go to the top of the mountain. At first, the trail was easy to travel. It then became very difficult, and soon there was vapor drifting across the trail, and I could see only one or two steps ahead. I proceeded at each step I would take, the vapor would move back, and I could see a few more feet of the trail so that I could walk in safety. Soon I came to a sign that gave the name of the trail. On the sign were these words, 'The Church of Christ.' At one time the vapor cleared enough that I could see that the trail led on up to the very peak of the mountain. In my dream, I seemed to have the knowledge that the mountaintop was the goal for which all mankind must strive to obtain. Did you notice that he said, at first, it was easy. Sometimes, maybe, in the childhood of our spiritual life, the way is easy. And as we grow and we see the requirements, and we see Satan ever trying to turn us away, that way gets harder. In those mists of darkness, they desire to cover our way. Another dream. In the name of the trail, it's the Church of Christ. This was a dream of William Saralta on March 28, 1978. Being in the country when a deep sleep overcame me, I sought the shade of a beautiful tree. I laid on the ground to sleep, and suddenly there came a vision of the Lord Jesus. A light descended from the heavens, stronger than the light of the sun. Slowly it came to earth. The light shone around a beautiful forest. Afterwards, it made ready to return again to heaven, and as it came upon the site of my travel, it stopped a few seconds. Then it ascended to heaven by the same way it had descended. When it arrived to heaven, the angels sang a marvelous hymn. Only the angels of God could sing that hymn. We humans could not sing it. While they sang and praised the light, a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, hear ye him." And I saw a little church with few members who were singing and praising God, and the angels in heaven were praising God together with the Christians of the Church of Christ. I believe that here one might find the path. Maybe from those two dreams you can see that there's a way into life. I want to read to you one more thing about a song. This is The Old, Old Path, How It Came to Be Written by Vida E. Smith Yates. I was teaching at the time in the primary department of the Sunday school in the old brick church in Lamoni. It was then our place of worship there. Now it lies in ashes, and even the historic old bell lies in the ruins, melted beyond recognition. That morning I had conducted a review of the life and works of Christ. It had been most gratifying, even inspirational to me. After Sunday school, I mounted the wide back stairs and sat down in one of the front seats, as it was cool and inviting there to me. Above me, the window was open, and the birds were flittering about outside, or just quietly sitting on the deep casement, while the branches of the green trees swayed in the summer breeze. I joined in the songs, for song has ever been a happy part of my worship, and listened to the invocation, then settled myself for the service. The minister read his text, which I had used in my review, and which is a great favorite of all the members of the restoration. Ask for the old paths and walk therein. Immediately my mind went to my review. I saw the upturned faces and heard the replies, marveling at the keen perception of some of them. From my seat I could see the blue of the summer sky, and I thought on its beauty. How often, too, I had seen it dark and stormy. But following the old path was as sweet then, for I knew the blue would come to me. I reflected on the thought I had stressed in the review, that when Jesus came to earth, this old path was the one he walked in. That for ages and ages it had been there and was still there, and Jesus chose to walk in it. That made it easier for us to understand, for we all find in the old path understanding and kindness and the love of Christ. Sometimes the shadows are so dark and the mountains so steep that we almost forget to follow. But there are the shining footprints of Jesus, and we reach for his hand and look up and find comfort. I thought of the dear friends who had gone all the way with me and always would, for in this path, for For in this path is that which makes friends true, considerate and understanding. It takes all these things with understanding love to keep friends, and if we are in the old path, we shall be like him whose feet have made it sacred. I want you to keep that statement in mind. And if we are in the old path, we shall be like him whose feet have made it sacred. I seized my pencil and into my quarterly went the little verses, my expression of gratitude for that old path, and for the story of Jesus, which makes it so sweet and enjoyable as well as abiding. After the meeting closed, I walked a ways with Sister Alice Cobb, a charming friend who was the author of much lively verse. She spoke of the sermon and asked my opinion. Reluctantly, I replied, and with some embarrassment, that I had not heard it, and as an excuse passed to her my quarterly. She read the stanzas with tear-wet eyes and said, "You must show that to Audentia and get a tune." I had not thought of such, but consented. As we came to the door of my cousin, Miss Anderson, I went in. She met me with a sick babe in her arms. After some discussion of the baby, I repeated to her what I had done and the proposal of Sister Cobb. Audentia and I had often cooperated in these things, and she, like myself, attached no great concern, saying, "All right, lay it on the piano." After lunch, in my quiet hour, I sat down to the piano, and the words of the verse came to me clearly. This was unusual, for my little verses often slipped from my mind, but I strummed out a melody with quick action and words. It was the same melody that we sing today and the same one that had come to me. Still, it did not seem strange to me, just an ordinary incident in my busy life. Still, it was sweet with the thought of my expression and thankfulness for Jesus in the old path. May it continue its blessing for many years, I pray, going as many a song has gone into eternity where I hope to meet it and its record. That's the story of the song. It's a beautiful thing to me. For we've sung it. I've sung it from my youth and I love it. For the way to life is old. You know, many times we look for things that are new. Maybe new songs. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with it. But let's not forget the old. Let's not put them away and close the door on them. If we walk in the path, we'll be like him. I want to read in 1 John. In the second chapter, 24th through the 29th verses, it says, "Let that therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, ye also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. But the anointing which ye have received of him abideth in you, and ye need not that any man teach you, but as the same anointing teach you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it hath taught you, ye shall abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence, and not be ashamed before him at his coming. For ye know that he is righteous. Ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, that now are we the sons of God." You know, sons and daughters are called after the name of their father.
And if we're sons and daughters, then we'll be called the children of Christ. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. You know, we aren't going to make it to that last day unless you and I are purified in Him. And it's a true statement that, you know, we shall be like Him. We have to be like Him. In love, in word, in deed, in thought, in obedience to the commandments, in our walk in the old path, we've got to travel the same ground. And in spirituality, our lives have got to shine like Christ. And He says, "And every man that hath this hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure." You can't make white whiter. White is white. And it can have a more glorious radiance, but white is white. And when we have lived a life, and when we have perfected ourselves in Him, that's the only way we can do it, through Christ. Of our own self, we can't. But we've got to be like Him. We've got to be pure. And we can be white. "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. And ye know that He was manifested to take away our sins, and in Him is no sin. Whoso abideth in Him sinneth not. Whoso sinneth hath not seen Him, neither known Him. Little children, let no man deceive you. He that doeth righteousness is righteous, even as He is righteous." If your lives are working righteousness, you're righteous, even as He is righteous. You're like Him. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of Man was manifested, that He might destroy the works of the devil. Whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him, and he cannot sin, because he is born of God. In this the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteousness is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother." So, you know, we can see, you know, what it takes to become the sons of God and His children. And what He requires, you know, He says, "Be ye perfect." Now, He wouldn't have said it if we couldn't attain to it. And we must attain to it to be like Him. Again, in Moroni in the 10th chapter, you'll find it on the last page in your Book of Mormon, the last page of Scripture, page 777. He says in the 29th verse, He says, "Yea, come unto Christ, and be perfected in Him, and deny yourselves of all ungodliness. And if ye shall deny yourselves of all ungodliness, and love God with all your might, mind, and strength, then is His grace sufficient for you, that by His grace ye may be perfect in Christ. And if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye can in no wise deny the power of God." You know, we can't be perfect without the grace of God. It's because of His grace that we can be perfect in Christ. "And again, if by the grace of God ye are perfect in Christ, ye cannot deny His power. Then are ye sanctified in Christ by the grace of God, through the shedding of the blood of Christ, which is the covenant of the Father, unto the remission of your sins, that ye become holy without spot." Maybe these are some of those harder things to walk across in the path. Maybe some of the tougher things that our feet have got to try to hold to as we walk it. In the 2nd Nephi, in the 12th chapter, we're going to find some hope there. Some strength, some comfort. This was speaking of the, it's on page 154. This was speaking of the religions of the day. And he says in the 16th verse, he says, they wear stiff necks and high heads, yea, and because of pride and wickedness and abominations and whoredoms, they have all gone astray, save it be a few who are the humble followers of Christ. Nevertheless, they are led that in many instances they do err, because they are taught by the precepts of men. You know, Paul told us, we can be taught. We can be taught by Christ. We can find an answer to these precepts that are put forth by men. And there's an answer. And if we're humble and we seek them, we can find them. In the 39th verse of the same chapter, he, on the bottom of page 155, he says, cursed is he that putteth his trust in man, or maketh flesh his arm, or shall hearken unto the precepts of men, save their precepts shall be given by the power of the Holy Ghost. Woe be unto the Gentiles, saith the Lord God of hosts, for notwithstanding I shall lengthen out mine arm unto them, from day to day they will deny me. Nevertheless, I will be merciful unto them, saith the Lord God, if they will repent and come unto me. For mine arm is lengthened out all the day long, saith the Lord God of hosts. There's where our hope lies. He hasn't forgotten us. And we couldn't think to progress on our own. But His hand is extended daily. Every moment, every need, and in those rough spots, His hand is out. We have but to reach up. And walk where He walked. Climb the hill as He climbed the hill of Calvary. We climbed it. We've got to climb it in life. In the 14th chapter of St. John, Christ speaking in the first verse, says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe in me also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. He made those things clear. The place that He went and the way He went. And again He said, follow me. Follow me. The way we know we'll find in Alma in the 17th chapter. And this is the last scripture I am going to read tonight. And then I'm going to read a poem. On page 441. He says in the 71st verse, and now, my son, I have somewhat to say concerning the thing which our fathers call a ball, or director, or our fathers call it Lahona, which is being interpreted a compass, and the Lord prepared it. And behold, there cannot any man work after the manner of so curious a workmanship. And behold, it was prepared to show unto our fathers the course which they should travel in the wilderness. And it did work for them according to their faith in God. We're going to find the same thing, you know, in our life. According to our faith, we'll continue to journey. And when our faith is weakened and we can't see, and we can't overcome those temptations because of our weakness of faith, we're going to slip. And we're going to fall and we're going to slide. Therefore, if they had faith to believe that God could cause that those spindles should point the way they should go, it was, behold, it was done. Therefore, they had this miracle. and also many other miracles wrought by the power of God day by day. Nevertheless, because those miracles were worked by small means, it did show unto them marvelous works. They were slothful and forgot to exercise their faith and diligence. And there's another word, diligence. It's God to accompany us in our path of life. And then those marvelous works ceased, and they did not progress in their journey. Therefore, they tarried in the wilderness and did not travel a direct course, and were afflicted with hunger and thirst because of their transgressions. And you know, you can go about, and we know the dream, the vision that Nephi saw, and he saw him wandering on strange paths. And we can go out in these mountains, and I've done it several times. I want to see where these roads go. And you take this road out through the wilderness, and it just stops dead. And there's nowhere to go but back. We had an opportunity the same day I was telling you about Mike here and our travel. These people had driven their truck miles through the wilderness. Very rough country. And they come up and said, "How far is it down to the road?" Said, "It don't go to the road, it stops." They had about 10 miles of rough country to turn around and drive back through to get to the right path, to the right road that led them down to the main road. If our diligence and our faith are lacking, we're going to get off on one of those little paths and follow its ways, and it's going to be a dead-end course. We aren't going to find where we desire to go. "And now, my son, I would that ye should understand that these things are not without a shadow. For as our fathers were slothful to give heed to this compass, now these things were temporal. They did not prosper. Even so it is with things which are spiritual. For behold, it is as easy to give heed to the word of Christ, which will point to you a straight course to eternal bliss, as it was for our fathers to give heed to this compass, which would point them unto them a straight course to the promised land. And now I say, is there not a type in this thing? For just as surely as this director did bring our fathers by following its course to the promised land, shall the words of Christ, if we follow their course, carry us beyond this veil of sorrow into a far better land of promise. O my son, do not let us be slothful because of the easiness of the way. For so it was with our fathers, for so it was prepared for them, that if they would look, they might live. Even so it is with us." And their fathers, he was talking about when Moses put that brass serpent upon a staff, because all those serpents had come in the land and were poisonous and were biting the people. And he said, "All you got to do is look. Look and you'll live." And in another place in the scripture it says, because of the easiness of the way, there's many that wouldn't look. They hardened their hearts and they died. The way is prepared, and if we will look, we may live forever. "And now, my son, see that you care. Take care of these sacred things, yea, see that ye look to God and live." Name of the poem, "What Path?" Written in September the 8th, 1984, by my brother. He says, "What path is it you're walking? Is it the one you should trod? Is it always leading upward unto God? Or do ye serve another whose pathways are always down, until within his darkness you are finally bound? Escape does not come easy, so open up your eyes, for one is always truthful, but the other always lies. Always be obedient. Know he loves you true. For if you fail to do so, the other waits for you. Remember now, my brethren, and lean on him today. Build on his foundation, and safe you will stay." Thank you for your time.
Let's stand.
Thank you.
Dear Father, we thank you for the time spent here this day and for the message brought to us this evening. We thank you, Father, for the many blessings of life that you have given to us. We pray, Father, that as we go our separate ways, that we might have thy Spirit to guide us and direct us. Help us to be mindful of the needs of others. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Enjoy there, Jim.
Thank you, sir.